As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I've been joined today by Josephine Janes. And so as we have spent basically most of the show talking about the Driftless, I mean, what's your preferred? Is it the Driftless region? Is it the 3rd Congressional District? Like, what do you feel like is the most encompassing way to talk about like the western segment of Wisconsin?
I mean, that's probably the most encompassing way. It's just saying the western part of the state. But
yeah.
I mean, I really love the term Driftless just because, like, there's no other place like it in the entire world, right? Like, that's where the glaciers mist. Like, those rolling hills and the, you know, Cooley's Valleys, like, that's, you only get that right in this little piece of Wisconsin, like, in this little tri-state area. So I love the Driftless, but.
Because I was saying earlier this year, not even earlier, it wasn't even that long ago, it was the beginning of June, we drove to Minnesota and decided to split up the trip and not just do a straight shot, and went up the Mississippi, stayed for a night, and I had never done that, and how cute and quaint so many of the cities are right on the Mississippi, where, like, at any given point you're like, am I in Minnesota right now, or am I back in Wisconsin? And I was shocked of how untouched it feels like by developers and big money to come in, because it's so strikingly beautiful on the river, and how it still seems not overdeveloped. Like, we were talking about, don't get me wrong, I like Door County, but there's a lot of money influx into Door County to build it up in certain things, and so it's not as I don't know if you want to say, like, mom and pop, but just like the original small business owners who still own these places. And I would absolutely spend more time and go back. If not, I mean, both Mike and I were like, maybe we should buy a place over here. Like instead of going to Door County or the Northwoods, like, having this be another place that you can come and spend better quality time to experience different parts of the state.
But I mean, that's, like, part of the charm of the Driftless, is because it isn't overdeveloped.
Yes.
It isn't touched. Like, it's a secret little gem, and what makes it so special is the people there and the way of life. So, I mean, a friend of mine who moved to the area and then just moved away, when he was moving away, he wrote a long Facebook post, and my friend Ben, he said, to those who want to move to the community, move to become part of the community, not to change it. I think that's, like, a really key point, is, like, we like our way of life, we like the little farming communities, and you would lose a lot of the charm if it...
Totally. So, I mean, as it does, right? I mean, any place, it's the...
And that's the thing, is we try to keep people out. You know, we don't want the developers.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, I would rather sell to someone who's bringing their kids into the school district than I would to someone who's buying a second home or buying a third home or an Airbnb. Like... people like it the way it is.
Yeah, so. Which is good. So speaking of the way it is, as, you know, we've been talking about whether it's values-based messaging or how Democrats do or do not show up in different parts of the state. So when it does come to actual policy and issues and things that need to be solved in that part of the state that are serious topics, what comes as, like, the top things that you think need to be addressed that are either not being addressed or have been and there's still more to be done?
I think that Governor Evers has done a great job investing in rural Wisconsin, especially western Wisconsin, especially in terms of broadband. That was a big problem. A lot of people lacked broadband access, and Governor Evers has delivered on that, has flooded our communities with money to help increase the amount of residential homes and businesses that are connected now and have high-speed internet. The problem is that Dems aren't talking about it, you know? Like, there's no one, people don't know that. And what happens is our local Republican electeds take credit for it.
Mm.
So it's like the governor's doing all this great work and Republicans are taking credit and no one's contradicting them. Because sometimes even the Dems in the district don't know that the governor's doing it. Like, the messaging campaign needs to be better. I mean, the grants that the governor has given out, his administration for small businesses. I mean, Vernon County alone, my county, small businesses have received over 800 grants. Like, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Coming in. Vernon County received just under $1 million for broadband expansion, for internet. And also, like, the grants for small businesses, some of the small business owners are Republicans.
Yeah, totally.
You know? So, without shaming them, but just kind of saying, like, hey, we know that you're still open because of our governor. You know?
Do they know that?
They applied for them. They know who's, I mean, they know who's giving the money, but their customers don't. You know, the Main Street Bounce Back Program is phenomenal. It's mm-hmm. been filling our main streets. Our main streets are coming alive again, and it's the governor. He's doing it. It's our Democratic governor. It's not our do-nothing legislature. The guys who are taking credit for it, it's the governor. I mean, Governor Evers has allocated over $100 million in federal funding to support, like, our farmers. You know, he's been pushing money out to our people and to our industries, and you don't even hear a word about it. I'll do a little plug for the governor. If you go to TonyEvers.com and you click on the accomplishments tab, it shows a map of the state, and you can click on your county and see what the governor's done for your county.
That's probably a better... Do you think people aren't hearing about it because we're not in the general yet? Or do you think we'll hear more about it as we get closer to the election? Because that's like a pretty cool thing to see, a little interactive map to understand what happened. Because I think, you know, the money, Milwaukee, Madison, like everywhere got flooded with money.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is these issues are not just rural issues. Like, he's helping all of Wisconsin. The roads... I mean, yeah, like, this month is a pain in the butt because you can't drive anywhere without having to stop, you know, because...
Roll out the barrel.
But the thing is, he's fixing the darn roads just like he said he would.
Yeah.
I mean, his administration has fixed over 1,700 miles of roads, and they fixed, I think, just about, like, 1,300 bridges. Like, he's doing it.
He's doing
stuff.
He's
delivering. And this is... Roads aren't just for Democrats. Republicans use roads, too, you know? Like, these are things that this isn't even a partisan issue. He's fixing the roads. Schools, our public schools, that's a thing that I think Democrats could totally message better on. When people were talking about the state superintendent race, when Jill Underly won, and they were so surprised that she had won a lot of Western Wisconsin. And I was like, why? I'm like, of course people in rural areas would vote for the public school candidate. Because in a lot of these places, the public school is the only option.
Well, we talked about that yesterday. My friend, who is an executive director for a choice school in Milwaukee, and I was trying to have him explain, because in southeastern Wisconsin, this is a hot button issue when it comes to choice schools and charter schools and public schools. And I had brought that up, and I said, you know, often the idea of choice schools, it's even baked into the name of, like, giving parents choice. But that only really works when there's enough
when there's choices.
When there's choices, and there's enough students to populate so many different schools that multiple schools can have enough kids to even be a school, right? And so, and I was like, you get to a lot of parts of this state, and that doesn't even seem like a viable option, because there's schools already there's public schools shutting down, because as population declines in different counties, there's not enough kids to fill that school anymore. Like, I think in Palmyra Eagle, which is where my fiance went to school, this is in southeastern Wisconsin, in Jefferson County, but they almost split up the school because they're like, well, we don't have that many kids left, so we're going to bus these kids to Maguanago, and these kids can go bus to this school. And so it's like, that doesn't even feel like, in so many parts of the state, like, we need the public schools to work because we got kids to send, and so it's not like we're going to split them up into this one school and send them over to this public school.
I mean, yeah, I graduated in a class of 33 kids.
Wow.
Maybe 36. Under 40. You know, like, small.
Yeah.
I knew all my classmates. I knew their parents. I knew their birthdays. I knew their grandparents, where they lived. Like, small. And a lot of our rural, I mean, towns, they're actually, most of them qualify as villages. They're called the village of whatever. They rely on the public school. Like, the public schools are, like, the heart of our communities. People take so much pride in their schools. and their public schools. And also, Western Wisconsin, there's a lot of poverty in Western Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these parents, even if they could drive their kids somewhere else, they can't. You know, even if they wanted to, they can't. They're working two or three jobs. You know, the kids are waking themselves up to get to school because their parents have already left, you know, to go to work. Like, the public school is the only option for these kids, and it's their only way out of that poverty. Public schools are, I mean, Act 10 was devastating, you know, and that we're finally starting to catch up to where we were in funding before that even happened, you know, 10 years later. And thank God for Governor Evers, our education governor, who has brought our, you know, Wisconsin's like top 10, in the top 10 of best schools in the nation now, because he's prioritized our schools and public schools. I think oftentimes people in places where there are options forget that sometimes, that our rural students don't have an option. So if you start taking money away from public schools, you know, that's like, you know, the people in the Kickapoo School District, you start taking their taxpayer dollars to ship kids in other places to whatever school of their choice, the kids in the Kickapoo School District don't get the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, their kids don't get the same options.
Yeah.
They only have one, and it's the public schools. So I think that's a perspective a lot of people forget about.
Absolutely.
When it comes to school choice. Because, we don't have another option.
Well, as far as your work, I mean, you obviously are doing balancing a lot, considering you're still in school. What are you studying at UW?
It's flexible.
Are you an undecided?
I'm undecided, but it's probably going to end up being a poli-sci.
Yeah, that would have been my guess.
Maybe communication arts, I'm thinking, also, it's flexible.
It's flexible. Well, as someone who has changed professions and done a lot of different things, I will be confident to say it does not really matter what you end up majoring in. It just matters that you learn stuff, because you'll probably, if you're anything like me, you'll change your mind and change your career a lot. But as far as, you know, what is kind of your, once we get through this primary, you'll be back in school, but also have a main focus on that third congressional district race, right?
I set up my schedule for next semester to be all my classes are on 2 days, and I have them, I'm only taking 13 credits, and it's from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. so that I can drive home and be in the
third. You can't get credit for having this big job? That seems like a waste.
No.
You can't get like a lot of poli-sci credit for like, hey, I'm going to help a congressman get elected.
It's technically a volunteer position. I'm not paid. And I'm pretty sure the school's requirement is only like you can't get paid for your job.
All right. So you should investigate that. You should try to get some credit.
Yes, internship.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, did you know that it's the Waukesha County Fair this weekend?
I did not.
It's actually already started. I have never been to the Waukesha County Fair, but we have the executive director of the Waukesha County Fair, Chrissy Gluge. Did I pronounce that? All right, we're going to ask her when she comes on, but she's going to join us because I would love to know. It's Wisconsin's oldest county fair.
Really?
Yeah, which I didn't know, but now I do. And so when we come back, we will talk to Chrissy, hear what we have to do. Maybe I'll stop on my way back to Milwaukee to get some toast, like tasty food on a stick, because I'm sure they have some of those. But are you going to stick around?
Yeah.
Josephine will stick around, and we'll be back in just a minute. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.